In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever said to yourself, or at least thought to yourself, it's hopeless? It's hopeless. Unless you're an unusual individual, you have said this to yourself not once, but many times and in many different areas in your life. You know, we are in election season. You've probably noticed this. And as I watched the conventions, and I only, in honesty, saw a small portion of each, but I came away from that feeling, honestly, like this. If that is how politics look, then is there any hope for wise policy in our country? It seems hopeless. Maybe you can relate to that. And there are other areas where we sometimes feel this. Think about health. So whether it is a diagnosis that you have that you're stressed about, maybe it's a condition that the doctors are continuing to try this and to try that and nothing seems to be working. Maybe it's a matter of chronic pain. But in our health, sometimes we get to a place where we feel like this is hopeless. Or think about matters of the economy. This year, recent months especially, have been difficult in Wyoming. And maybe you're in a place where you feel anxiety about your job or about your finances or about your future and are saying to yourself, I'm having a very hard time finding hope here. Or what about relationships? When we love, when we engage in a relationship, we are exposing ourselves to disregard, to mistreatment, to neglect, to all the wounds that come in that context, to unforgiveness, sometimes others, sometimes ours. And you might have a relationship that you feel like you've been waiting for years to improve, and you've reached a place where you say, this one's hopeless. But what about yourself here? Have you let yourself down again? Is there something that you thought, I will succeed in this, and yet you failed? Is there that area, that part of your personality that you thought, I'm making very good progress with this, except for the stress of your life brought it to the surface again, and you said, man, it's hopeless. And maybe finally you've been watching the news. Don't recommend it. But suppose you have, and you've been inundated with, well, the news this summer has not been a happy place. The disasters, the stabbings, the bombings, the corruption, the coup, everything else that is going on in the news. And you're feeling overwhelmed and saying to yourself, this world is just hopeless. We can all relate to this. It's sometimes in our lives, things are going very well, and it's kind of a low buzz over here. But at other times, when things are not going well at all, it really presses. What presses is what you might call the problem of hope. Problem of hope. And I call this a problem because we are all needy creatures. So there's lots of things that we cannot do on our own, we cannot provide on our own, that we need. We are all vulnerable creatures. We realize that in various ways there's so much that is outside of our control, and we live, as we know, in a precarious world that is constantly threatening to upset our apple cart. We have a problem of hope. We need hope in the midst of difficult circumstances. It's a commonplace, really, that without hope, it's very difficult to live. Hopelessness is debilitating. It's disorienting. It is the sort of thing that makes us not want to get out of bed. Without something to live for, something to look forward to, we find it often difficult just to simply live. So we have a problem of hope. And when it comes to hope, there's two important questions that we need to think about. What is it that we can hope for, and what is it that we can hope in? Or maybe to put it differently, what is the substance of our hope and what is the basis of our hope? What is the substance and what is the basis? And we're going to be talking about, as you heard me mention to the children here a few moments ago, Christian hope in the next few weeks. And Christian hope works a little bit differently than other forms of hope. And you know, if you think about it for a moment, this is a word that we use really in very different ways in different contexts. So sometimes all we mean by hope is a kind of, well, wouldn't that be nice? Something that we would like, something that we wish for. So I might say, I hope that I get to red velvet before the lemon brioche is all gone. And if you've had that there before, you can understand this can be a powerful hope. But it's a wish. Or you might have a more robust version. I saw in the psychological literature that they often define hope this way. Hope means having some goal, and it means having a plan. So you know where you're going, and you have some idea about how you're going to get there, and that's what it means to have hope. And of course, that often is very important in our lives. But we also see that it's not everything, because we often look back and say, man, that goal I had was wrong-headed. Or we discover that the plans which we had to reach the goal don't work out. We all know that expression about the best laid plans of mice and men. I don't know why mice are involved in this, but I guess they make plans. The plans don't always go the way that we hoped that they would. Christian hope is different than these. Pastor John Piper describes it this way. He says, Christian hope is when God has promised that something is going to happen and you put your trust in that promise. Christian hope is confidence that something will come to pass because God has promised it will come to pass. He puts it this way in kind of a slogan, hope is faith in a future tense. Just like faith, it's a kind of trust in what God has said, but it's trust in what God has said will happen. And if you look at the reading from Hebrews that we had today, you see this connection between faith and hope. How does the passage begin? Faith is, and I know it in a different version, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure of it. Sure of what we hope for. Not, well, probably this will work out, and yeah, maybe this is what God will do, but a sureness in what God will do. Hope is being sure. And part of this, you remember I said there are two questions here. What is our the substance of our faith, the things we, our hope, the things we hope for, and also the basis of our hope, the things that we hope in. And in the weeks that are ahead, we'll be saying more about the substance part. This morning, I want to think a little bit more about basis. Our hope as Christians is in, ultimately, God himself. And you might ask, why does it make sense to hope in God? Maybe that sounds like a silly question, like a rhetorical question. But interestingly, Scripture doesn't ask us to hope in God blindly. People sometimes talk about blind faith, blind trust. Christianity doesn't call for that. It actually gives us reasons about why it makes sense to hope in God as opposed to other things. And I want to touch on three of those this morning. For one thing, we can hope in God because of his power. Secondly, we can hope in God because of his character. And thirdly, we can hope in God because of his great love for us. His power, his character, and his love. Let's think about power. A couple of moments ago, I defined hope as having a plan and having a goal and having a plan about how you will get there. Now, there's a really important difference between human goals and plans and divine goals and plans, because God, of course, has goals and has plans too. And what's the difference? Our goals are sometimes mistaken. They're wrong goals, inappropriate goals, bad goals. And of course, our plans sometimes don't work out. But when, in the case of God, if he has a goal, it's a good goal. It's the right goal. And crucially here, when it comes to his power, if he has a plan, it is going to work out. God never finds that halfway through he says, that's not going to work. Or that he finds himself thwarted by something else. If he plans something, it will come to pass. Isaiah says this, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. I will do all that I please. If God has said it, then God is able to do it. But add to God's power, his character. Because we can imagine and we know what it's like for something to be powerful and yet not to be dependable or not to be good. And yet God is both powerful and dependable. His character is that he is faithful to the thing that he has said. In Hebrews, we read here Abraham. It says that he considered him faithful who has promised. And we discover further ahead in the story that it was reasonable, that Abraham was right about that. God who promised was faithful. And think about the amazing things that God worked out in his life. Not only in the short term, he did indeed have a son, although he had to wait for quite a long time, but in the long term, because God said to Abraham, I will bless all the nations through you. And of course, what's this talking about? This is talking about the coming of Christ and what he has done and how this has worked out for all of humankind. And we see something here. Not only is God faithful to the working out of his promises, but he also is not in a hurry. And this is kind of a footnote for us. We'll say more about this later. But we have to be patient, because even though God will do what he has said that he will do, he does not do it on our time frame. But God is faithful. The author of Hebrews says in the chapter before the one we read this, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who is promised is faithful. So if God has said it, he is able to do it. And not only is he able, but he is faithful to do what he has said. And finally, God is loving. God is loving. And this is crucially important part. In sending of his son to live among us, to die for us, to reconcile us to God, God demonstrates in the most powerful way his tangible, his concrete love for us, his creatures. To put it slightly differently, in Christ we see that God's stance toward us is that he is fundamentally for us and for our good. And so as we hope, we know that what God is wanting to do for us is fundamentally for our good. The psalmist says this. He says, the Lord will certainly give what is good. And Paul asks rhetorically, he says, he who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? He says, look at this. If he was willing to do this, if that was the extent of his love and his intentions for us, how much more can we hope in what he has in store for all of us? Christian hope is different because it has a different basis. The one in whom we hope is someone who is powerful and able to do anything that he says, one who is faithful and will do anything that he says, and one who is loving and therefore has purposes of good and intentions of good for each of us. And this makes an enormous difference in how we think about and how we feel about the issues with which we began. It means that no matter how we feel, there is indeed, despite our politics, hope for our country. There is hope in our relationships. There is hope in your physical needs. There is hope in your financial needs. There is hope even for you and for change in your heart and in your life, change in your habits, change in your attitudes. There is always hope with God. And you might want to ask, okay, well, tell me more. Hope for what specifically? What can we expect? And you can see with the definition that I've given, that means we need to ask ourselves the question, okay, what actually has God promised? What has he said he will do? And this is that sort of to be continued part, because we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks ahead. But I would encourage you, if you're curious, you don't have to wait till next Sunday, to maybe look a little bit and to think a little bit about that and approach Scripture with that question in mind. What actually has God said that he will do for you, for me, for relationships, for our world, for the future? What is it that God has promised? And that's what we'll be thinking about ahead, the content of our faith. But I want you to remember the basis of our faith, because that's a crucial, crucial thing, that we believe in a God who is powerful, God who is faithful, and a God who is loving. Will you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks for the hope that we have in you. We thank you for your power, for your great love for us, for your faithfulness. And we ask, Lord, that you would, over the next few weeks as we think about this, that you would open our eyes to see what you've promised, what you have in store for us, and that you would change the way we feel and the way we think about our lives and our circumstances, knowing that no matter how it may seem and what we may face, that in you we have hope. In Christ's name, amen.